From just about any objective measure, I have a pretty awesome life. I've got a partner who loves me, a family that I adore, a loving and welcoming church family, beautiful home. I travel frequently. I've got one, soon to be two, crazy dogs. And I have a job that I love that I truly believe makes a difference. So yeah, I've got it pretty good, and I know it, when I can see the big picture. Yet for some reason, I frequently find myself in a place of regret, self-doubt, and worry. What did I do to deserve all this? Am I worthy? Am I truly a good person? And the big one, when is the other shoe going to drop? We can all relate to that one. And then, of course, I beat myself up for being so negative. Because we all know if there's one thing that is the key to forward progress, it's self-flagellation. You might say that I frequently suffer from a case of what might be called can't see the forest for the trees. So yeah, overall, I think I'm a pretty positive and upbeat person. And I think most who know me would agree. But as I'm not exactly a fan of generalizations, I'd also, if I were being honest, say that more often than I'd like, I fall into a negative perspective or a mindset. Quite easily, actually. Why is that? Why is negativity so easy and natural to the human mind? Perhaps you could say that I lack perspective. But don't we all? In the words of Douglas Adams, author of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the fact that we live at the bottom of a deep gravity well, on the surface of a gas-covered planet, going around a nuclear fireball 90 million miles away, and think this to be normal, is obviously some indication of how skewed our perspective tends to be. What is perspective anyway? Merriam-Webster defines it in three ways: a mental view or prospect, an interrelation in which a subject or parts are mentally viewed, or the capacity to view things in their true relation or relative importance. I like the last one personally. The capacity to view things in their true relation or relative importance, which to me translates to ditch your baggage and see things as they really are. Turns out I am not great at this. Luckily for me, though, most of us aren't, because misery loves company, right? We all have different perspectives, and they are hugely impacted by our past. Our past experiences, both good and bad, and our interactions with people throughout our lives inform our perspectives in so many more ways than we realize. I can look at something and think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, while you look at the exact same thing and think how awful. Surely we are doomed. And of course, I'm right and you're wrong. If your life has been nothing but just a ride down easy street, one would think you'd probably have a pretty positive outlook and perspective most of the time. And your general attitude is that everything will work out just fine. One could also assume the opposite is true, and it's natural that if you are used to being hurt, then you're always on alert, waiting to be hurt again. Perhaps this is both an emotional response and a safety mechanism. But the problem is that if my perspective is that because of past events, I believe I'm going to be hurt, or maybe that I don't fit in, then everything that happens is going to reinforce that idea in my mind, driving me further and further into that spiral. I will subconsciously look for things, be them words or actions, that reinforce my perspective. You didn't return my text immediately? Clearly, you hate me. There can be no other logical explanation. We can all relate to that one, right? We recently discussed this concept called confirmation bias in a class I took for work. Our minds will actively look for things to reinforce our already held beliefs, so we can make ourselves miserable by seeking out and zeroing in on reasons that we should be miserable. Isn't the human mind great? Deepak Chopra said, "What you see, you become. What you see is a selective act of intention and interpretation. Although you are inundated by billions of bits of sensory impulses every moment, you selectively filter out the vast majority, allowing only a small fraction into your awareness. What you allow into your awareness is determined by your habitual patterns of seeing and interpreting the world. Your attention and interpretations create what you see and ultimately determine what you believe. A belief is simply an interpretation that you hold to be true. What you see, you become." I think there's my problem. When I look around the world right now, I see awfulness. I see war. I see devastation, homelessness, discrimination, hatred, children in cages, and just outright nastiness of the type it feels like we've never seen before. I see my country devolving into an every person for themselves wasteland, where those with the means survive and those without it are left to their own devices. Every time my phone buzzes with a CNN breaking news alert, I have a mini anxiety attack. And I think, what now? It feels like we live in an era of survival of the fittest. It's the Lord of the Flies and the Hunger Games out there. The media, especially social media, does not help. When I see the world going to hell in a handbasket, I turn to Facebook for comfort and solace. And I find it in the form of my already held beliefs amplified back to me tenfold. I knew it. Things really are as horrible as I thought. Our media today is specifically designed to reinforce our beliefs. The days of watching the news on TV and having Walter Cronkite tell us that's the way it is, and us having reasonable certainty that that really is the way it is, are long over. Today, instead of hearing an unbiased version of events, we tell these information channels what we want to hear, who we want to hear it from, when and how. We quite effectively filter out any opinion that is contrary to ours. And then we spend our time with people who already agree with us. It can definitely lead to a skewed perspective of reality. I know it does for me. I think it's important to acknowledge the ugliness, but the problem is getting stuck in it. How do I find the strength to go on, to strength to fight for a better world, when everything I see and read tells me, and when I believe, sometimes honestly with every fiber of my being, that all hope is lost? Recent studies have shown that the current political climate in our country is actually hurting our collective mental health. And it may even be contributing to our average life expectancy declining for the first time since World War I. Are we great again yet? When I can manage to widen my view just a little, I see a different picture. I see people fighting the wars and devastation in record numbers. I see groups dedicated to helping the homeless, ending discrimination. I see so-called protests by right-wing militia groups met with overwhelming counter-protests by those that believe we are all equal. And I see people calling out the lies and the nastiness and saying enough is enough. Sadly, though, I have trouble seeing all that because I can't get past the ugliness. I've spent a lot of time contemplating how to change my perspective and be more rational when presented with information. How do I remove the emotion? I think where I struggle is with breaking out of the negative thought patterns or resisting the urge to retreat into safety mode. I'm fully aware that my perspective is skewed by my past and present experiences. My perspective is formed by, as Deepak Chopra said, my attention and interpretations. So maybe step one of changing my perspective is simply changing where I focus my attention. Thankfully, our perspectives, our attention and interpretations, can change. Sometimes frequently, and sometimes rapidly, and based on circumstances, and of course, the passage of time. Think of something bad that happened to you in your life that turned out to be a good thing in the end. Your first thought was, oh no, how could this happen? Time passed, wounds healed, and something remarkable happened. It turned out to be for the best. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I have a lot of regret. I imagine we all do. I frequently find myself wallowing in those memories, in fact. It's easy. But I stand here before you right now, and I can say, without a shadow of a doubt, that if I had not followed the exact path I have, I likely would not be here today. Yet here I am. None of us would. The path we've taken, good or bad, has led each of us right here to this welcoming community on this beautiful summer morning. The same is true for supposedly good things, though. Take winning the lottery. Several studies have proven that winning the lottery does not substantially increase levels of happiness. In fact, it generally creates new and different problems to be solved, and frequently makes life worse in the long run. There are countless of stories of people who had supposedly awesome things happen to them and then ended up worse off than they started. And isn't life really about the long game? So how do we control our immediate emotional reaction so that we can avoid the inevitable up and down roller coaster as life plays out? And how do we resist the natural urge to focus on the negative, the mistakes, and the missteps in our lives? This morning's reading about the farmer and his horse is credited to both Zen Buddhism and Taoism, depending on who you ask or where you find it. I find this particular story interesting and chose it because I'm intrigued by the concept of seeing things as neither good nor bad and just seeing them as are. And I think most of us have a tendency to view the world through our lens of good and bad. We assign emotion to things and events. Things that make us or those we love happy equal good. Things that hurt us or those we love equal bad. Puppies good. Snakes and spiders very bad. Politicians that align with my beliefs good. Politicians that don't bad. Well, actually evil. But that's a topic for a different Sunday. I could go on and on, right? And it's simple. But it's not really. I think the problem for me, at least, with a good versus bad mindset is that in order to have one, you have to have the other. It's a yin-yang kind of thing. We can't see the good if there is no bad. Then the real problem begins because our great mind kicks in and we generally are predisposed to seeing the bad. So does a good versus bad mindset therefore set us up for unhappiness? Honestly, I don't know, but there seem to be a lot of people smarter than me who think so. Dr. David Niven writes, "That is how we are wired. Good things, ultimately, are secondary to bad things. Good breaks down over time. We get used to things, and it raises our expectations. If you spend your lottery winnings on a giant house, it just becomes your house. And good makes other things seem boring. After you win the lottery, how excited will you be about reading an interesting magazine article or buying a nice pair of pants? Good fades. Bad things, on the other hand, are always compelling to us. Bad is so compelling to us that even when we have every incentive to value good over bad, We value bad over good. So the idea from our reading this morning of attempting to see things neither as good nor bad, but instead simply as are, is interesting to me. We don't need to be positive or negative all the time. We simply need to be. Very zen, isn't it? What would our world look like if we could resist the urge to immediately, not entirely, just immediately, assign emotion to everything that happens to us? Everything we hear, everything we see. Would we be able to process things more rationally? Would we react more logically? And most importantly, would we have perhaps the ability to see things from a different perspective? As Viktor Frankl says in our quote in your order of service this morning, which I really liked, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Our Unitarian Universalist faith calls on us to search for truth and meaning, to seek justice, and to respect the inherent worth and dignity of all people. When I see the world through the lens of right or wrong, positive or negative, good or bad, black or white, it makes it difficult for me to do what my faith asks of me. As the world becomes more polarized, I am honestly having an increasingly difficult time seeing people who disagree with me as anything other than wrong. And honestly, that scares me. Maybe by trying to remove the immediate emotional reaction to assign good or bad, perhaps we would be more able to see both sides of a situation more clearly in a more accurate and unbiased way. I believe this is important because there are obviously a whole lot of people out there who have a completely different perspective than I do, and we have simply got to find a way to be together. Just like the fact that you didn't immediately respond to my text does not actually mean you hate me. The fact that your life experience led you to an entirely different perspective doesn't make you a bad person or my enemy. Building walls does not work. Let's not replace the walls we oppose being built at our border with ones we build around ourselves. Amen, and blessed be. Please stand in body or spirit and join in singing Let It Be a Dance, hymn number 311.